This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.
On this episode of That Florida Podcast, I'm joined by David. How are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic, and it's good to see you and chat to you. Obviously, if you're listening, you won't see us, but Kevin and I talk on Zoom with a camera on so that we can see what we're talking about.
Yeah, so as I don't interrupt him too much, and I still do it too often, but there we
go. Likewise.
So you've been to Florida again, David.
I have. I was very fortunate. So we went in March for my partner's birthday, and we went again in May for my birthday. And we loved it so much in March, we did pretty much the same thing. Florida is my second home. We worked out, we're very fortunate with EVC, with the Disney Vacation Club, and the way we manage our time and things. By the time we get to October this year, well, I spent 2 months in Florida in the prior 12 months. So very fortunate to be able to go out there. Like you, Kev, it's my happy place.
It definitely is. You can't beat a bit of Florida.
Absolutely. So this time we didn't just do Disney. Normally we just do Disney, but this time we mixed it up a little bit. We took a flight down to Miami on Virgin Atlantic. Virgin Atlantic, their usual amazing self. The little problems, though, Heathrow put us in a bit of a cul-de-sac at the airport, which meant we couldn't actually leave on time. We left 2 hours late because we were blocked in by other planes. Then, actually, it was an hour. I'm exaggerating. When we then got to Miami, because we were an hour late, we didn't have a slot to land. There was no gate, so we circled for 30 minutes. Now, all of this would have been fine had we not had a table reservation for dinner at 7:30. We finally got to the hotel at 5:45 in the evening. It literally was a case of find the clothes that we're going to wear for dinner, shower, and out the door. Usual Virgin Atlantic flight, really good. We were on one of their new planes. One of the things that I'm really surprised at these days is the films seem really limited, and I'll be interested to get your view when you go in September, Kev. Are you a film person on the plane?
Yeah, definitely. I like to use the opportunity to watch a film to try and get the hours by, because I can't sleep on a plane either way. So I usually watch quite a lot of the content, and it was dire last year. But they had a reason for that. I'd have thought they were a little bit better now than that.
Well, I think so. So we know that the reason there are less films on there is because during COVID, everybody stopped making films. What we saw on the plane was they didn't seem to have a wide variety of back catalogue. There were some newer films, which still I think is struggling because Hollywood and everywhere else is playing catch up. There wasn't a catalogue of Disney films, for instance. I could have watched Lightyear, which I enjoyed. What was the new Disney Pixar one? Outlook, Outland, yeah. Something like yeah. That. Watch that. That was cool. Still didn't understand it, but I watched it again. But the flight was really good. We flew premium. We tend to try and fly premium when we can. Atlantic credit card for everything. And effectively, it means that we can buy premium flights, but for the price of economy flights. So we like doing that. Landed there, as I say, literally Uber. The poor lady that was going to picking us up for the transfer had been sitting at the airport for us for 2 hours because we were 2 hours late. Got to the hotel, really nice hotel called the Kent Hotel, which is just off of the main Ocean Drive in Miami, an Art Deco hotel, and then round to have dinner at a very famous place.
Pray do share.
So we actually had dinner at Gianni Versace's mansion. It's just a stunningly beautiful place to eat. Not massively expensive. A spaghetti dish was about $28, which is not expensive, really. Everything's expensive over there, but obviously the exchange rates back to about 125 now. It's sort of doing okay. One of the things to bear in mind with that is you have to look at prices as if they're parity, you know, a pound for dollar, because even though it's 125, you're going to get 7% sales tax And you bet your life they're going to try and put an 18% tip on it. All those added together means $27 for spaghetti with cheese is going to be £27. But it's a really, really well-kept secret that you can eat dinner in Versace's mansion. You can book, think it's Open Table, just search for it. Yeah. It's called Gianni's. Not massively expensive. Boy, is it an experience sitting in there. It is the most ornate place I've ever been in. Now, you know, I live in Brighton and we've got the Brighton Pavilion here. Meh. Brighton Pavilion compared to Gianni's restaurant. Definitely worth going and having a bite to eat there if you've got the time and you're in Miami.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned that on a podcast when we talked about Miami before. So you managed to get to eat there. That's brilliant.
We did. And this time we also forced ourselves to stay awake. Bearing in mind, with the time difference, we ate dinner at 8 o'clock, which was 9, 10, 11, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm just counting on my hands for those people wondering what I was just doing then. And we stayed out till 11 o'clock at night, which was 12, 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. A, because I wanted to, and B, because I try and get onto the time zone as soon as possible. How do you cope with the time zone, Kev?
Do you know what? I struggle with jet lag, but I can get into the time zone fairly good, but I'm just dog tired for the first couple of days. And this is the strategy that we've incorporated. We're booking a cheap hotel at the beginning of our holiday. We're staying at Surfside, as everybody knows, because I keep on about it every time we have one of these podcasts. But that under £100 a night, which for the location, for the fact you can jump on a bus and just go City Walk, Disney, isn't it? down into City Walk and go to Universal. And we haven't got Universal tickets this time, but if we did, you could. But we're going to go down to City Walk and eat a couple of times, I think. And then you've got the whole of iDrive. But also, I've got those 5 nights to recover from first day or two to recover from jet lag, then go off and do me SeaWorld, me Busch Gardens, Aquatica, and obviously the shopping days that my wife wants to do at the beginning of the holiday. I've got an interesting little bit of information I don't think I've shared with you about Virgin.
Go on, then.
I was up to pay... I get a pension now because I'm an old, old man.
Oh, bless.
Bless. So my plan was that basically to pay off the balance of my account with Virgin monthly using that. So I went on the other month to pay £700 off and it just wouldn't let me. Apparently I was going to go for free. They wouldn't let me pay it off on the app. Whereas when I booked it, it all went through lovely, but I tried to pay £700 off, couldn't. Anyway, I struggled with it for ages. In the end, I got on the phone to Virgin and by this time I'm not in the best frame of mind. And
I always use the phrase a bit grumpy. When I say to people I'm a bit grumpy, they know I'm absolutely fuming.
Spitting razor blades, as my dad would say.
Yeah.
My opening gambit to the lady was, I know this is not your fault, and I apologise if I come over a little bit blunt, but your system is dog poo. It just won't allow me. She said, no, there's not a problem with the app. I'm saying, well, there is, because I can't pay through the app, and it keeps on sending me an error message. So I said, now you've got two options. Either you want me to pay or you don't. She said, oh, no, I can take your payment. So I said, well, look, just to be clear, I owe £1,400. I'm going to pay £1,400 off today purely because I don't want this hassle next month. All right? I just want it paid off. And she said, okay, fine. She took my payment. Lovely. So I do apologize. I said, no, not a problem. Not your fault, but get this app sorted because next time we'll be going British Airways.
Yep.
Thank you for your time. Put the phone down. And just left it at that. 3 minutes later, my phone rang. Hi, this is, can't remember her name, from Virgin. We just were on the phone talking. She said, I wasn't comfortable with something you said to me. I thought, there's me going, oh dear, what have I done?
Uh-oh, what have you said?
She said, well, just as a goodwill gesture, we're going to upgrade you to the one lounge, okay? She said, I noticed that you've booked your seats and you're an exit seat. She said, are you happy with those? I said, yeah, not interested in anything else. I want to sit there so as I've got room in front of me.
Yeah.
She said, no, that's fine, because I was going to put you in premium. I said, no, I'll sit there because I've got that booked for both ends anyway. She said, yeah, okay, well, I've given you the one lounge and I hope that's a little compensation. So I said to myself, oh, that works out quite good, because we were just about to book a lounge at Heathrow. So that's that sorted. But yeah, I don't know what their problem is with their app. I couldn't, and you know, the normal move is it won't work. You go on and ask the question in one of these Orlando or Florida Facebook groups and say, is anyone else having this issue? And I was bombarded by people saying, oh,
it's a real problem. I think apps are a real problem. One of the things that we talked about on the previous podcast was my letter to Bob Iger a few months ago, where as Disney David, find me on TikTok, close quote, I wrote to him and said, look, you've got to sort things out. Disney World is not about looking at your phones. It's not about looking to get your next Lightning Lane, your next Genie Plus, your next virtual queue. Clearly he listened because he's got rid of park pass reservations. We're going to be able to do Genie Plus in advance in the future, in which case I may well buy it, because up to now I won't. And also recognize that people shouldn't spend the time looking at their phones, because that's what they're doing. So apps are great if it works and if you can use it. And we had a similar experience on the Virgin Voyages ship. So we cruised out of Miami, round the Dominican Republic on Virgin Voyages, and everything is on the app. And we had the worst experience getting on board because we couldn't connect to the Wi-Fi. And because we couldn't do that, we couldn't get on the app, and we couldn't book dinner, and we couldn't book shows. They fixed it for us, and you can walk to a desk and queue. We talked about COVID previously. I want to go back pre-COVID, where I can ring a number and somebody will talk to me within three rings, not 45 minutes. We know your call is important. Please hold on. Yeah, I want somebody to talk to me in 3 or 4 minutes, three or four rings. I have a real problem with apps, and I'm a real techie guy. I get it. I make things work. I feel so bad for people that don't, that the world is going to a place where, unless you're a technology genius, you won't be able to do anything. It's horrific. And these people need to fix their app. They need to just make them work.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I'm a little bit the opposite to you. I like using apps, and I will almost go out of my way to avoid speaking to people. So I'd rather do something for an app than phone somebody. So I love the mobile ordering in Disney. I love that sort of thing. I love mobile ordering at restaurants here in the UK, McDonald's or whatever. Not I do a lot of McDonald's. I like that. I would prefer to do that than phone up and make a reservation.
So I agree. I think my point was when, and I'm with you on that, is when it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's so frustrating.
I want to talk to somebody. Virgin, as an example, you know, you managed to get through to them to actually talk about the problem you had. Wait times on a lot of things, I sound like a real grumpy old man, but wait times, you know, it used to be three rings. Why can't it be three rings? Why does it have to be 45 minutes of me sitting listening to music when I just want somebody to fix my problem?
Yeah, they're just not putting the bums on the seats, are they? They're just not putting people on the end of those phones. I'd love to know the amount of people they've got answering phones. I mean, I had a similar issue with one of the ferry providers over here on the Isle of Wight with phoning up, and one of them said, oh yeah, we all work from home. But the problem with that situation is that's your second priority. If you're sat in a phone and all you're doing is taking phone calls, then you're far more focused. It's happening.
It's an interesting one. I mean, my day job, and some people I know, I'm part of the IT leadership team at Gatwick Airport. So I know these firsthand, because part of my job is to improve the way the airport uses IT. And I'm looking at improving the app and everything else. But I work from home 2 days a week, generally. But I'm really, really focused. But then I'm not on a call centre. So I think that there's something that has to be done here. But we're digressing massively from this. My Disney experience is great. It is a really good way to do things. And apps do generally work. It's just when they don't. I was really interested in you talking about where you're staying in Universal. Remind me about the resort.
Right, so I'm staying at Surfside, which is the one right on iDrive opposite the Walgreens. And weirdly enough, I picked it out of Surfside and Dockside, because it's on the actual iDrive, and literally you've got one crossing to get to Walgreens and restaurants on iDrive. And the reason for that is we want to go and get water when we first arrive. We've done a long flight, so we just walk across to Walgreens, a pack of water, a few odd bits, back to our room, and we're sorted. Yeah, if Dockside's a lot longer walk. But that was what made me book Surfside the first time we went. Was I looked at it on Google Earth and went, hold it. That is literally, you're falling out of bed and you're at a Walgreens, you're at a Denny's, you're at all these other chain restaurants along there, along iDrive. You've got all of iDrive. Plus, you walk out that little gate and there's a bus stop for the trolley, which takes you up and down iDrive. So it eliminates the issue of having to have a car.
Yeah.
For me, and my wife's a very nervous passenger anyway. So if it's somebody else driving, she can scream at them, not me.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So it eliminates that issue. Means that you can do it exactly like I said earlier. On our last day there, we'll go across, we'll get all our stuff we want for Saratoga Springs. We'll take it with us. We'll put it in our room. And then we'll be sorted for water for the rest of the holiday, probably. Two packs of water. And then you're not paying $4 in Disney for a bottle of water, whatever it is now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's such a great idea. So obviously, as you know, my other role, I'm a travel agent. I help people book amazing Disney holidays at D4B Travel. I'm seeing lots of people staying at Universal and visiting Disney because Universal is so cheap now, as you say, less than £100 a night. Disney, you'll be lucky to get anything for less than £170 now. Even All Stars, generally you're looking at £160, £170 at a push. And you just get, most of the hotels do transfers, or you book yourself a transfer. I'm seeing a lot of people do that. I'm looking, when we're there in October, we run out of point. So we've got 2 days where we've run out of point. And I tend not to try and borrow from future years our Disney Vacation Club point, because I like to use them. So we're going to pay to stay. And I'm really, really thinking, I was actually thinking of staying at Cabana Bay, because that looks really cool. Still way cheap. Cabana Bay is still cheaper than All Stars at Disney World. Definitely, we're seeing people swinging over to Universal. They've got their pricing right.
Definitely. I think the only reason why I'm staying at Surfside, because like I say, I don't have Universal tickets. I'm staying at Surfside purely because I stayed there just under two years ago. It's a new hotel, less than 4 years old, and it's three years old. So it's a new hotel. You can go up iDrive. There are some nice hotels up iDrive, and there are some not so nice hotels on iDrive.
But it's
a product that's proven, and I know that I would have no issue sending any of my nieces there with their families if they wanted somewhere to go in Florida on a budget, because they would be on a budget. Surfside, Dockside, either of those two for a budget hotel in Orlando. Don't think you can go wrong. Like you say, if you're driving a car, it's not an issue. Even if you're not driving a car, to be honest with you, Lyft and Uber is so cheap that if you've got that car and you're parking it and paying at Disney, but you can get an Uber, you're not that much worse off paying for an Uber.
That's a really good point. And you know, one of the other things that Bob Iger did at Disney was turned off the parking charge. So previously Disney had about £15, $15 a day parking charge, which if you're staying there for 2 weeks is
really adds up.
£100. Disney have got rid of that. Disney also don't have a resort charge. Universal don't have a resort charge. Universal do have a parking charge, and it's about $20 a day to park in your hotel. So you're absolutely right. You know, that will start eating into your money. The other one that's an interesting one on that is, and I think I've talked about this before, but Disney Springs Hotels. I was doing some work for a customer week or so ago, and they said, look, I've seen a really good price at Disney Springs, and it was the B Resort, and it was $140 a night. And they said, but All Stars is $180 a night, so I'm best staying there. And I'm like, whoa. Two things. Are you going to have a car? Yes, I'm going to have a car. Okay, so B Resort are going to charge you at least $25 a night, and you're going to get a resort fee. And the resort fee was $35 a night for a car. And the resort fee, you're paying $60 a night. All of a sudden, the resort on Disney Springs is $200 a night, and Disney is $170 a night. And when you stay in a Disney resort, you don't pay to park. So you're also then going to be saving on a daily basis $20 for parking actually in the parks. Just be careful, people. This is where I always say, unless you're some kind of travel guru like Ev, who goes on to Google Earth to see where the hotel he's staying at is, see if it's close to a Walgreens, use a travel agent to help you make the right decisions. Because I've seen horror stories of people who ended up being £300, £400 over budget because of these extra fees. And you can't get them waived. The Americans, in this instance, can be really pushy and go, it's here in the contract you signed. Sorry, we're taking an extra $700 from you because of your parking and your resort fee.
Yeah, we're not used to that in the UK. You definitely need to look at that to make sure you know what that is. And again, David's saying use a travel agent. Obviously, we recommend David. But I understand, David, aren't you looking to expand your travel agency?
Really interesting, Kev. Yes, I'm looking for up some other people. Really interesting, Kev. Thank you. Yes, I'm looking for other people that want to become travel agents. If people have got a passion for Disney, and I'm looking specifically for Disney travel agents, so people that know Disney, know a bit about it, know the complexities, and not just in the UK. I'm really, really interested in people in the States that would be interested in becoming a travel agent. There's a couple of real benefits to that. Number one, you get to book your own travel cheaper because there's lots and lots of travel agents deals, and Disney in particular in America. Once you've done the Disney College of Knowledge, you get some great prices on things, free tickets, etc. If you're doing it in the UK, it's not quite as good. But effectively, if you're your family's booker, and by that, I mean people, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your friends, all ask you to sort travel out for them. Actually, you do that and then you get the commission. Whenever you book a holiday, commission goes to somebody. So I always take the view, I'll do the work for you. I do pre-planning calls before you go to Disney. One of my clients there in July, and I literally a month ago sent him a box that had waterproof disposable coat, it had luggage tags, it had the latest Birnbaum's book so that he can know more about what he's doing, it had a planner, it had some pens and games for the kids. So I send a box of goodies for my clients so they can have the best experience, and you get early warning of things like, have you got your ESTA, which is the visa that you need? Have you got your travel insurance, etc., etc., etc.? I like to do a great job. I'm looking for people that are interested in doing that as well. If you are, drop me a note at david@d4btravel. That's the letter D, the number 4, the letter B, travel.com. And I'd be very happy to have a conversation with you. If you think, I don't know how to do it because I've never been a travel agent. 2 years ago, I have been a travel agent. All the trainings included. It's a really, really nice way to start. There's no target. You set your own time. And if you want to do it as a side job, you can do it as a side job. If you want to get more money out of it by putting more time into it, then you can do that. But yeah, really interested, particularly in friends over the pond, because I'm really keen to get some American people and build an American team so that we can do Disney the David way.
Yeah, I think it's more important, David, to be a Disney expert than anything to do with a travel agent. It's so important to really love what you're doing, and then obviously it's not a job, is it?
No, exactly. And you'll know, Kev, with the times that you've gone, you cannot just turn up, land in Florida and go, what shall we do? There are so many complexities around tickets, around visas, around transport, around insurance, park passes, whether they're here or not, Genie, virtual queues. I saw people turning up when we were there in March, and people were turned away from the gate because they didn't have park reservations, which is heartbreaking for the youngsters involved. But the park had planned to be at capacity that day. So you definitely will get a better experience by working with an expert.
Definitely. I'm glad you shared that with us, David.
Yeah, thanks for asking me. It's something I love as well. You know I love Disney. And those of you, you know, you can't see, but I'm in a room that I'm surrounded by Disney. I've got it there. It's my happy place. I have quite a serious daytime job. So when I go on Disney, I'm a total kid for the minute I land. In fact, the minute I get on the plane, it starts. Be honest, a new cabin crew on a new plane when we flew out this time, and I looked and the main meal was roast chicken or a fish pie, which of course is the archetypal chicken or fish. So when the cabin crew lady came along and she said, what would you like to eat? And I just said, go on, say it. And she said, I'm not going to say it. I went, go on. She said, have you looked at your menu, sir? Is they not going to tell it? She said, I'm not saying chicken or fish. I went, there, you said it. But she absolutely wouldn't say chicken or fish.
Great stuff. Yeah, I think we're both a Virgin converts, aren't we? If we can possibly manage to be on a Virgin plane, that's one we want to be on.
Totally, yeah. And there's some new airlines open. Norse have started flying into Orlando from Gatwick. BA obviously go. I do Virgin because I like the experience. I like the fun of it. And I get great deals because of the credit card that I use. So other companies are as good. Obviously, Chewy flying to Melbourne, which is 90 minutes away from Disney. It's a bit of a trek from Chewy. But hey, whatever you use to get you to Orlando, you're going to have an amazing time. So I like Virgin. If you like Chewy or BA, happy days. Just get yourself to Orlando.
Just get yourself over there to Florida. That's the key, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that, like you say, it's a premium product with Virgin, which is what I like. Always been just that little bit better. I have flown BA and I flew TUI many years ago, but I haven't flown with them in probably 20 years. They weren't TUI then. What were they then? Thompson's, was it?
Thompson's, yeah.
Travel, yeah.
A new entrant, obviously, is Aer Lingus. And Aer Lingus fly from Heathrow and Manchester. And you'll either fly direct, but the other thing you can do with Aer Lingus is you actually change in Dublin. But when you change in Dublin, you pre-clear American security. So when you land in Orlando, you don't have to go through that massive long line. And I've seen lines of 2 hours there, which is horrific at security. Aer Lingus are worth looking at. I've not flown them. I probably will. We've not booked next year's ones. I may well do an exploratory Aer Lingus. See, even my face is saying that I don't want to do it, but I probably should to see what it's like. It does look very good, and I've heard really good reports of it. So, yeah, Manchester is Virgin and Aer Lingus. I think Heathrow is Virgin, Gatwick is BA and Norse, which is Norwegian Airlines rebranded.
Yeah, I thought that was the case. I wasn't sure, but I thought that was the case because Norwegian were a really good deal pre-COVID.
And Norse doesn't appear to be a particularly good deal when it's a little bit like EasyJet. It looks a great price, but when you add on your seats and your bags, before you know it, you're up at Virgin prices. But BA are ones that I see great deals for. People, you know, I've seen, had clients where I couldn't match the price that they can get from BA. And that happens now and again. And one of the things I do as a travel agent is I will compare the market. I will literally go and see what the other prices are and do my best to beat it. And 9 times out of 10, if I can't, I will tell the client, I can't beat that price. You may want to still use me because of all the extra magic that I give you, part of booking with me, or you may just choose to book it direct. It's really your call.
Yeah, I think that we need to perhaps do some more price up shows. We did a couple of those in the early days of that Florida podcast. It was interesting, the work you put in and the prices you were getting. So perhaps we'll do that in the months to come, especially now as you seem to book earlier and earlier for next year's deals, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I'm limited to 11 months out because that's when the Virgin Flying Club seats come on. So we're late in booking next May now.
Yeah,
because the seats will be there. But Virgin have changed their rules. They've now guaranteed more Flying Club, which is their loyalty club, seats on each flight. So actually, there's more chance of getting flights than there were a while ago, so I'm a little bit more relaxed about it. And hey, didn't I just say I'm going to fly Aer Lingus? So who knows?
It's funny with that. I actually looked and compared prices year on year, and the reason why I'm staying 5 nights, not 4, is because the Virgin deal was for 5 nights as a package, which obviously you can book that further out.
Yeah,
which is why
packages you can generally book to 2025. If you're booking flights individually, it's 11 months out. But I've got customers looking at 2024, August 2024 holidays, which is packages you can now book. In fact, one of my suppliers is doing 2025 now.
Yeah.
And what they do is they do an allocation of flights. You won't know the time that you fly and you won't know who you're flying with, but you will be flying on that day on a direct flight to Orlando. So, and your price is locked, and then you pay it monthly. It's a great way to budget.
Yeah, like I say, I did it and threw the dice, hoping that I wasn't going to lose too much money. And I'll be honest with you, I've checked the flights, and I'm within, I think it's about £100 more expensive for the two of us to book just flights and then put together the hotel in America. But that may well be because we were sort of looking at the exchange rate was higher, obviously, when we went in 2022. That's one of the issues. Now, that's an interesting thing. with the exchange rate the way it is, David, I know it's back up, what, 125 on Revolut?
Yep, 125 now. Yep, on our Revolut card, which is our saviour, the Revolut card.
Yes, I've just loaded a virtual card to my account, which I haven't done before. I've used a really good plug for them. I use the disposable one online quite often.
Yep.
If I'm a little bit worried about spending the money, I don't want to put on my credit card, but normally I'd use a credit card. But the Revolut, the app's great, isn't it? You can see what you're paying and what you're doing. But I still stand by what I said to Craig Lucas when I had him on the show a few months ago. The exchange rate may be lower than what you were used to 3 or 4 years ago, but when you go out there, the prices of the food and stuff have gone up so much as well that you tend to pick and choose what you're eating and what you're buying. Gone are the days of coming home with 6 pairs of trainers. And for our American listeners, that's sneakers, right? Gone are those days of walking into those outlets and buying half a dozen pairs of jeans and sticking them in your suitcase. Yep. Those days have gone. And you won't do it because you look at it and you go, oh, hold it, I can buy those at Tatterland in the UK. I don't need to spend that sort of money to save.
Very true. It's very true.
I mean, you get that. I don't know if you get this question, but on Facebook, you obviously get this question. How much spending money should I take for 2 adults and 2 children? And my answer is always the same. Everything you've got.
Yeah. So when people come to me and say, can you find me a cheap Disney holiday? My answer is always no. Because there's no such thing as a cheap Disney holiday. Now, clearly you don't have to stay at the Four Seasons in Disney World or the Grand Floridian, but you will have to be spending £600 a person for tickets. You will have to spend £500 or £600 a person for flights. You will have to eat. Now, the Disney dining plans just come back, and it's a reasonable price. I think it's $50 a day for the quick service dining plan. Yep. So that's about £35, which is for 2 meals, which is okay. The advantage of doing that is you buy it up front, and then you pay it off before you go, so you're budgeted. I'm with you. It's definitely a case of you can't do it cheap. If you're a family of 4, you'd be lucky to do it for less than $5,000 all in, just because, you know, you can't scrimp and save when you're over there. It's really hard. So I'm with you on that one. One of the things you mentioned there was Revolut. A little hints and tips on Revolut that if you've got a Revolut card, you need to know about. You will get charged a fee if you go over your exchanging currency allowance. You're given an allowance of £1,000 a month, I think it is. But that £1,000 a month is on a set date. So go into your app, click on your face, and it will tell you the date that you started or the date that your month starts. So if you want to change more than £1,000, change 1 the day before that date and then 1 the day after, and you won't be charged a fee. Hint number 1. Hint number 2, they charge you more to exchange money at weekends. So if you have a look at that, you'll get charged an extra percent fee if you change at a weekend. Get your planning in place. Try and do it once before your cutoff date and then once after. Don't exchange money on the weekend because you're effectively giving them money. You're looking at your app now, aren't you?
I am looking at it. I'm trying to find out where my date is.
Right. I'm going to find it while we talk about something else. I was interested in iDrive. Have you got a favourite restaurant in iDrive that you go to?
Well, we like the chains. We like IHOP, we do, because it's a proper American sort of experience. We do a Wendy's if there's one that's still open. Friendly's we go to if we can, which is actually a restaurant that's in the hotel that we first stayed at on our honeymoon back in 94. So that's more of an ice cream parlour type of thing. But we'll go there if we're on iDrive at least once a holiday, just for the sheer nostalgia of being in, I think it's called the Eco Lodge now. It used to be a Best Western back in 94, back in those dark, dark years. I'm trying to think of any of the chains we like. Whereas a lot of my American friends will give me a very funny look because obviously they can go to those restaurants anytime they want. Whereas us Brits just like to experience it when we're over there.
Absolutely. We're a massive fan of Olive Garden at lunchtime. Yep. So talking about a value meal, I think it's about $8.99, unlimited soup and salad and breadstick. Obviously, you get charged $4 for a drink, but actually for $16 with a tip, which is about £13, it's a great amount of food.
You can't knock that, can you? So, well, that's what we do on iDrive. We try to eat at some of the chain restaurants, really. But obviously, Disney Springs or City Walk is somewhere we like to go and eat. Did you ever do the Virgin free meal down in City Walk when you flew with them? They used to give you a voucher for a free meal. And I think it was viable in about three places down in City Walk. And we did that one year. And that was really a good little perk.
I'm wondering if that was just Virgin Holidays rather than Virgin.
Yes,
Atlantic.
I imagine it was, because we've booked quite more Virgin Holidays than we have Virgin Atlantic.
Yeah.
We've gone about three times just flight only, but most of the time we've gone as a package. And
it's more often than not, it's a better deal.
Yeah, it's incredible that like we can get, I think it was under £2,000. Five nights in Surfside and basic flight with obviously your 22 kilo luggage was under $2,000 for me and Deborah.
Yeah,
it's a
great deal.
Shake a stick at, can you? If you
no,
take 100,
absolutely not.
You're talking about 15.
How do you get from the airport then? If you're doing this, how do you get from the airport to your hotel?
Well, we used a town car last time, and I don't think we're going to do that this time. We did use a town car guy. And we had an issue actually with paying through the year because it wasn't prepaid. So if we do that this time, we'll make sure we do a prepaid one. So as I'm not trying to swipe my car.
What's a town car?
A town car. So basically like a private hire vehicle.
Okay.
I think DL Tours, one of the big podcasts do, we looked into maybe booking that. But we're probably just grab an Uber or even a Mears taxi. And I know at the moment they're coming out about $15, $20 dearer than Uber and Lyft. But at the end of the day, it's always going to be one of those at the airport.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely worth something to look out for.
Because if you go on to any of those three apps, so there's an app for Mears taxis, there's an app for obviously Uber and Lyft. You can price up your journeys. Now, obviously, they surge price it, so you've got to sort of have a rough idea what time you'll get catching those things to know whether or not it's going to be too very busy. All in all, it's only about $40, I think, one way from the airport to Surfside. So you could probably do it in one of these transfers for less than that for two people. But to be able to get in your own car, put the bags in and just door to door, to me it's worth $40-$50 definitely.
Well, you've just had an 8 or 9 hour flight. Realistically, you were at the airport 3 or 4 hours before you are going to fly anyway, so by the time you land, so one of the things that we've got, our flight in October is a 4 o'clock in the afternoon flight departing Heathrow.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
3:40
we don't get there. Yeah, that's the one we're on.
Yeah,
that's the same flight, so we don't get to Orlando until 8 o'clock, which means we'll be going straight to bed.
Yeah. Because
realistically, by the time we've got through the airport, got to the hotel, checked in, straight to bed.
Well, interesting enough, I was really annoyed about it, and that was a thing I discussed. They tried to move me to an earlier flight, but unfortunately at this stage in the game, that flight was not fully booked, but the seats we could have got weren't what I wanted, so we stayed on the 3:40. But then I stopped and thought about it. The only bonus with that, we could now not travel up the day before.
Yeah,
okay, so we could not pay for a hotel at Heathrow, which we're already doing. So if we were staying at the Hilton Garden Inn on Heathrow property, we'd be paying, I think it's £226 for the night. So say we were doing that. That saved you £226. My coach from Portsmouth and my other ferry things, that's transferable by the day. There I've saved £226. On top of that, when you get to Orlando, like you said, perhaps you're just going to go straight to bed, have something to eat and drink, straight to bed, boom. Then perhaps you're going to be able to get on time because you've got to be awake till not basically 10 o'clock at night. If everything runs on schedule, you're not going to get to your hotel room till 9, 10 o'clock at night at the earliest.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there is a risk for people that are driving. There's a risk that you're actually driving at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So I would definitely suggest, you know, and this is where I sort of mix the rules up a little bit. I generally don't fly on a plane, but if you're on that plane and you're going to have to drive when you land, unless you're really comfortable to do it, either don't or get yourself an hour's kip on the plane if that's something you can do, just to give yourself a little bit of an opportunity to be awake. I'd only just thought of that while we were talking. I'm okay with that because normally we'll do stuff until 10 o'clock at night anyway when we get there and I drive, but it's definitely worth something to think about. Listen, I've just found it on Revolut. Shall I tell you how to do it?
Here we go. This is live, open people. We're doing it live.
Live. Open up your Revolut.
Yep.
Transfer £2,000 to DM Chewsbury. Yeah. No, I'm joking. Right. So click on your face, the picture of your face, top left-hand corner.
Yep.
Yep. Then click on plan. So you've got your face and your name and your account details, and then you should have something that says plan.
Yep. Got it. Standard plan. Right. I'm on. Yep.
Click on that.
Yeah.
Click on commission free trade. Bingo. Yep. There's your date. You can do one monthly trade. So for me,
I'm screenshotting
that. One the up 20th. To the 16th of June. And then my refresh date is the 16th of June. So if I'm going to transfer money, I need to do it before the 15th of June. Yeah. And then on the 16th of June, I can do it again. And that also applies to cash withdrawals. You can do £200 a month of cash withdrawals. Similar kind of thing. If you're in the States and you want to take $400 of cash out, do $200 before your refresh date, $200 afterwards, and it's fee free.
Yeah, mine's the 20th of June, so I'll be transferring some money in the next few days then. So
there
I can
you
do
it. See things you didn't know. The other bit I mentioned on there, it says you can get free currency exchange up to $1,000 a month from Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
Weekend markup supply. So don't do currency transfer at weekends. All of these little things that are hidden in the very, very small print or no print at all. We just thought you'd know about it, Kevin. That's why we didn't tell you.
Yeah, small print in a app is quite interesting, isn't it? Let's just clarify that for my own sake. Is it £1,000 or $1,000? Is it
You can transfer £1,000 a month into dollars.
Right, okay. Because that makes quite a difference, even though it's only
Yeah, and you can take £200 out a month.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether that gets converted into $200 when you're over there. Don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, to be honest, I've never used a cash point over there.
We do, because I don't take cash anymore. I get to the airport, I'll take a couple of $100 out, and that's it. That's it, me for the holiday.
Well, we've got more than that in cash here in the safe downstairs, so.
Right.
I mean, I am low on currency in my account because obviously I've paid my dues, but the last time I exchanged money was 2021 for the 2022 holiday, so I haven't exchanged any money since then.
Yeah, but things are definitely expensive. So Olive Garden's £8 or £9, but you will pay $4 for a drink. Yeah, a burger and chips, decent burger and chips in Burger King, $8 now.
Yes. Yeah.
We've got a new pub opened here, and I know we're posh hove and all that, but Simon and I had a burger and chips and a drink each. He had a beer, I had a gin and tonic. £48.
Thanks for listening to the show today. If you could leave us a review on your podcasting app of choice, that would be muchly appreciated. Like and subscribe and share it with your friends. And why not, while you're there, subscribe to Brit's Guide to Disney Vacation Club. Go and give us a listen on our sister podcast. All contact details are in the show notes, so we will speak to you on the next show.
The audio for this show has been recorded, edited, and produced by Arla White Audio Productions.